Day 3, 4, and 5. By this point, I felt that I kind of had an agenda because I was an avid fan, mentioned earlier, of podcasting and the opportunities that it presents. So during the open space on June 9th, there were a flurry of discussions, and one of the things that I was certainly jumping up for was not only, you know, Indigenous representation, but new ways to engage audiences through the growing popularity of podcasting, perhaps in the incorporation of external podcasts or networks that may already be within different campus community radio stations, the idea of having a NCRC podcast network, stuff like that. After the open space, I attended the People of Color Caucus, and here I was able to facilitate the meeting and open discussions about what it was like to perhaps be a person of color at your station, or if you were the only person of color at your station or one of the few, then how do you become a focus for perhaps the concern of tokenism, or perhaps addressing any lack of diverse content from persons of color. Coming from a smaller station myself, I was able to understand the situation at larger stations and larger population centers, and even though some of these stations were in larger population centers, they would still face issues of prejudice, of stereotypes, of concern for the POC content creation cycle, even if there was a greater audience in the larger population centers. There was a common theme between persons of color and Indigenous in that how do we best balance the needs of those communities with the wider listening audience? How do we attract content creators where there may be a lack of such content creators? How do we get them involved? How do we get them to stay involved with the station? And how do we ensure a quality product that can truly bring that voice forward? Another panel later on entitled That's Not Me dealt with diversity and media. It was presented by Media Smarts, and it dealt with representation in the media and how we can apply the principles of media literacy to representation. It talked about having a framework and language for talking about this sort of thing and tools to address them. The basic outline dealt with things like who's telling my story, othering, stereotyping, and invisibility. Examples include the portrayal of persons of color within video games and movies, the othering of even fantasy races like the orcs in the Lord of the Rings, how they are presented as animal-like and monstrous to reduce sympathy for their characters because, well, obviously, they're the bad guy, right? They don't look like us or they don't sound like us. They snarl and they gnash, so therefore, the message at the end was one of how do we ask the critical questions? Do what we see in media, does that reflect my experience? Does that show the lived experience of the group being portrayed? Do media portrayals of a particular group reflect that group's experience in Canada? And are these needs to understand the lived experience, are they genuine? What kind of tropes preserve or perpetuate stereotypes? What is the power structure, the power dynamic between the groups, the characters, and or even the hero and the sidekick? The takeaway from that panel was how do we tailor content to diverse groups of persons? How do we diversify the power structures in content creation? How do we reduce stereotypes? How do we affect the message of the portrayal of other races? A few events later on in the day, especially the radio cabaret, it was interesting because I had the chance to meet a few employees from CBC. And speaking at length with one of the producers for Q, he mentioned the opportunities for Indigenous producers, Indigenous content creators, and mentioned that one of the engineers, one of the audio engineers, which is relevant to me, is actually an Indigenous one. He's one of the longer serving members of the audio engineering group. The guest speaker at the Community Radio Awards Gala later that evening was Candy Palmater. She is an LGBT Indigenous woman from New Brunswick who currently has a show on CBC Radio 1. And she highlighted her past, her upbringing, and she discusses her approach to being a content creator who is also Indigenous, who is also LGBT. And the question I posed to her was, how do we Indigenous content creators, how do we continue? What do we do? How do we go down that path? And her response was never give up, never stop creating. You have a voice, and that voice should be heard at all times. And I didn't know much about Candy going in. I haven't really heard of what her radio shows were like, but all it took was one listen to get the gist of what she's saying, of empowerment, of loving yourself, of being proud of yourself. And that's definitely something that I can agree with. That's definitely something that I believe the Indigenous community should take to heart, the LGBT community should take to heart. Just a powerful, powerful speaker overall, and I relished a chance to ask her a few more questions after the event. On June 11th, the Indigenous Caucus was one of the first events that I went to, and it was a chance to speak to Indigenous allies, Indigenous persons from across Canada, from larger communities and from smaller communities, to address the needs of these groups and to figure out what should be done going forward. What I heard most of was, can we do something about language? Can we do something about Indigenous music? Can we bring all of that to the forefront? How best can we present that package to the program directors, to the station managers who may or may not be familiar with that kind of content? Bailey Soulier, a Métis woman at the conference, led the discussions at the caucus. And going forward from that gathering, we decided to collaborate with Indigenous content creators that are already at stations and devise ways to attract more groups, more Indigenous persons in the community, bring in storytellers, bring in speakers of the Indigenous languages, have them speak on the show, have them speak on new shows or existing shows, and just keep developing content, never stop making content. Later on, I was able to assist Groundwire in doing a production workshop where myself and an associate from Carleton Radio were able to produce a piece on an upcoming condo development on the islands in the Ottawa River that hold great significance for the Indigenous tribes of the area. After the events of NCRC were officially over, we were able to relax and unwind after all the proceedings. I was able to catch up with some old friends from CKXU after having moved from Lethbridge to London back to Ontario. And I realized that community radio is a big family. There's a lot of people you meet, and even if you meet them for the first time, it feels like you've known them for a long time. One example of this is Ophira Horwitz of CFUZ. She was able to help put together the grant to bring me to the NCRC to contribute to community radio. And even upon our first meeting, it felt as if we were friends reuniting for the umpteenth time. Community radio, you meet a lot of people that are like this, and I'm extremely thankful to be a part of it, and I realize that I'm only starting to scratch the surface of my involvement in community radio and meeting all kinds of people from all walks of life. But every moment, the more I get to meet people, the more I enjoy myself in community radio, and I hope I could be a voice in encouraging Indigenous voices, Indigenous content creation, to bring the language, the stories, the histories to the airwaves and to the wider attention of the community radio listening public.